So it starts off, this is the first simon of ribis, and it starts off with a goy. Now, I don't want to talk about a goy so much, but the next simon, kuf samach willis, it's relative to us, but anyway, we'll jump into it. We'll go through it very quickly. Devar Torah, mutu lahalvois legoy beribis, you're allowed to lend a non-Jew money with interest. Mitaima loy miduchsev lanochwis sashach yalfinu law. It's not because the pasuk says lanochwis sashich, you should bite the goy, which means you should lend with ribis. Dimkein lanochwis sashuch mi boyle. If the pasuk is giving you instructions that you should go out lichatchila and lend a non-Jew money with interest, the correct grammatical expression should be lanochwi soshuch. The os havi mashmo sashich also, you should bite him, which means kolay martikach nimenu ribis avol megasif sashich l'shoin mif mafil hu. It's indirect. Now what do we mean indirect? Umashmo targum umashmo Tigroim loy sheyashich oischa. Cause it that sheyashich oischa kloimar yochol atolitin loy ribis veloy shetikach mimenu ribis. Not that you should take ribis. Elakevon shenosna Torah atam gabi ribis dechei ochichi mach. Being the Torah says the reason why you should not lend money with ribis is so that your brother should live with you, the goymer. The ain mitsuyin lahachayoisoy diochichuksif. When it comes to a non-Jew, you have no obligation to cause it that he lives. Shaminan mine shemutu lahalvois lugoy beribis. You're allowed to lend him money with ribis. Let's try to clarify this very fascinating idea. The Torah tells us the reason why you're not allowed to lend your fellow Jew money with interest is because v'chei achicha imach. Amazing. It's all built upon a principle that your brother, you have to, there's a mitzvah say to do things to make it easy that your brother should live with you. Make life for your fellow man easy. If you're going to charge your friend interest, I'm going to lend you money, and you're going to have to pay me back double, or whatever it is, then your brother is having, does not, has a miserable life. That's not called chayim. Evet loyvel ishmael, it's hard enough that he has to pay back the loan. You lend the money, he's using the money for whatever he needs to use the money for, he's going to pay you back, but now he has to pay back more money? The stress that you put upon your brother takes away from the quality of his life. The chei achicha imach. So the Levush says, when it comes to a non-Jew, you don't have that obligation. By a non-Jew, there is no mitzvah d'oraisa that you should be concerned with the quality of his life. You're not allowed to kill him. You're not allowed to go over to a non-Jew and take their life, chas v'shalom. You're not allowed to do that, selam alokim. You're not allowed to go and torture them, but you don't have an obligation to ensure that they have an easy life, that their activities are such where it's just there's an enhancement in their quality of their life. Therefore, if you lend them money and you charge them ribis, it's an indirect consequence that the quality of their life is going to go down. You are not obligated to be concerned with that issue. So that's what all the means of Torah does not say, go to your fellow non-Jews, seek out non-Jews, and trap them. Give them money only for the purpose of taking ribis. That's not what the Torah says. It's more than a rishus. He's saying something a little different. He's saying it's ribis is not a good thing for anyone. It's not a good thing for anyone. Ribis automatically, according to the understanding of the Levush, it automatically takes away from the quality of life for everyone.
Why did you say that? If I borrow money at 5% interest and I invest and I make a 20% profit, then it's been good for me.
If you succeed. But the daigus, the possibility of you not making money, and now have to paying back interest, can be overwhelming. We see the truth is we don't relate to ribbis today for one very simple reason, because everything is when you have no liability today. We live in a world today where there's no liability. If you borrow money, startup, okay, today all the action is on the startups. Okay, you ever read these magazines? Shark Tank and Biz Tank and this tank and that tank, where the goal is you have an idea and you present your idea to a group of very, very wealthy people and you ask them for money. And you promise in return, I'll give you 20% of the company, 30% of the company. And if the company picks up and succeeds. These people can become multi. They can quadruple 100 times over their investments. What happens if you fail? No responsibility. Limited, no responsibility, no liability. If you fail today, I'm going to take from you $500,000. From an investor, I have a great idea, it sounds great, and the only reason why he is giving me $500,000 is because he knows the business, he is in this business, and he sees the chokhmah, and he knows the market, and he believes that it will succeed, and he trusts me that I'm going to invest the money wisely and hire the right people to do the work and to market it in a responsible way. But guess what? If I do everything right and the business falls flat on its head, he lost $500,000. Too bad for you. It's a risk. So if I succeed and the business takes off, you're not going to get back $500,000. You're going to get back $20 million. It's a business. So we don't really, today, most of the time, you don't really sense in business. The example you gave me is in business, you don't really sense the pain of paying back interest because it's a business investment. Where you do feel the pain is in the mortgage. Okay, you want to buy a house, can't afford it, so the bank gives you a mortgage and they charge you an outrageous amount of interest, which you're going to pay off for the rest of your life. So that's very painful. It's very, very, it eats you up. Every month you're paying an enormous amount of money. If you had all of this money, you have a house, so you have benefit. It's true you have benefit, but you say to yourself, had I saved up money wisely in advance, I would have been able to put down a much bigger down payment. I would not have to pay this astronomical payment every month for the rest of my life. It's true, I have a benefit, but it's still interest.
Yeah, but very well,
you couldn't do it otherwise.
Right.
It's what? Of course, okay, there's always a calculation. There's always a reason why you do it. With the bottom line of it is the Levush saying over principle. The Levush principle is definitely very, very true. If you have no choice but to pay back interest, not the case that you gave me is a business case. There's interest, but there's only interest when there's going to be profit. When you have a regular loan, when you want to buy a house, you want to pay back chayvus, you have debt, and you have to borrow money, you have to pay back interest. It eats, if you're a thinking human being, it eats you to pieces that I have to go pay interest. It takes away from the quality of life. Now, the truth is in the world, the whole world economy today, without beyond a shadow of a doubt, is only built upon the principle of interest. The whole world economy would collapse is if there wouldn't be something called interest. The whole world is about investments.
If you lease a car from a Shabbos place, is that
interest? Oh, we're going to get to that. Yeah, we're going to get to that. I want to just go through some of the basic yesodos. Just a couple of days of this, we'll jump around some of the basic halachas, then we'll come back to the modern questions and Rabbi Reisman Sefer, and have some other svarim which deal with modern applications of ribbis.
So, Rabbi, everything is interest. If I go to the grocery store and I buy a carton of milk, I'm paying more to him than he paid.
That's still not. That's business. That's not interest. That's a transaction. That's not interest. That's a transaction. That is not interest. Is a loan. I'm borrowing money. No. I'm buying a product. I'm buying a product. I'm buying a carton of milk. I'm buying a carton of milk. There are 20 people who are involved in the production of this milk. besides the cow, who doesn't get paid? Who doesn't get paid for its labor? Okay, but there's people who breed the cow. There's the feed, and there's the transportation, and there's the marketing, and there's the people who make the carton, and there's the storekeeper, and there's the refrigeration. Everyone is entitled for their payment for their service. That's a service payment. That's not called interest.
The Torah does not consider money a product.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Maybe that's the answer.
No, what
the business.
What Rabbi Schwab says in his sefer is that if it were your brother who came to you, ask you for $100,
you wouldn't charge interest.
You wouldn't charge.
Exactly.
So v'cheyochicha imach. That's what it's.
That's what it means. So that's the yisod of the levush.
A fellow Jew is your brother.
A transaction. If you buy a product, that's not ribbis. A ribbis is I'm borrowing money. I want to borrow. I have
a
debt. I have a job. I have a job. I have income. I have income. But it's going to take me time to pay off in order to accumulate. I have a steady job. It'll take me a couple of years to accumulate enough money where I can pay. I can give away this amount of money. But right now, there is something very pressing. They're coming after me, the tuition bills, the yeshiva is coming to demand, they're going to throw my child out of yeshiva unless I pay the tuition. I don't have the money. Can I borrow from you the money? Give me $10,000. And I have a job. And if everything, over 2 years, I'll have all the money will come into my account and I'll pay you back. But I need the money now. Yes, you can have $10,000. On the condition you pay me back $15,000. That's what we're discussing. So when I pay you back $15,000, that's painful. That extra $5,000 eats me up. It eats me up. It's wasted money. By paying that extra $5,000, I'm working. I'm a hard worker. And I have to $5,000 is just pure waste. What am I getting out of that $5,000? Just to pay back the interest? That takes away from my life. That's what the chiddush of the levush is. It takes away from the quality of my life, knowing that my hard work is going to pay back money to give someone money for nothing. For nothing. He has the money in his bank. He gave it to me so I can pay my tuition. And now I have to give him $5,000 because I'm giving him back that money over a period of time. And the amount of money that I'm giving him does not, that takes away from my chiyus. The Torah says, don't do that. The Torah is giving you the tam, the logic. It's very rare where the Torah gives you the reason for a halacha. Along comes the levush, and he says something very, very fascinating. Now you understand what it means when it comes to a non-Jew. This, don't make a mistake and fall into the trap and think that the reason why you're allowed to lend ribbis to a non-Jew is because we are in the business of extortion. When it comes to non-Jews, we can't wait. Lanochri sashich. We can't wait until we find a non-Jew where we can have pleasure in torturing him, in demanding from him that he should give us back more money than what we give him. That's not what the Torah wants. That's chas v'shalom to say that. What it means is, you're allowed to lend money to a non-Jew, and you're allowed to lend him ribbis, and even though indirectly, by lending a non-Jew money with ribbis, the non-Jew's quality of life will be diminished, he'll be lacking in the v'chei, that's not your concern. It's not your concern, because the only time there is v'chei, is v'chei, achicha, when it's your brother. If it's not your brother, don't go out and look to lend him money in order that he should suffer. In the event he comes to you and he asks you, can I have money? You can give him money and you can charge ribbis, and you don't have to look at the indirect consequence that his quality of life will be diminished because he's not achicha. Okay, that's the point he's trying to make. It's not. It's a milvah lahayit sanin. Absolutely, it's not a product. That is the fundamental difference between a loan and a transaction. Milvah lahayit sanin. When you lend someone money, the money is abstract. The money is not a product. There's nothing tangible. I lend you money. It's your money. You have an obligation, a choif, to pay me back that amount of money, but not the actual dollar bills. not an object, and the money, it's completely abstract. It's an abstraction. A product is something that's physical that you can touch, you can hold. If I go to the store and I buy a carton of milk, I'm buying a product. In that product, there's a labor, and a person is entitled to charge a fee for his service. That's you're paying for the service.
I'm losing money if I don't get interest.
What?
I'm losing money if I give you money and I'm not going.
Okay, you're saying something very good. You're saying something. You're talking about since in the world economy, okay, we have to talk about this in the modern question. The world economy, there's a certain if I would put the money in the bank, and if I would put the money in the bank, they would give me interest. Correct? Okay, even though the interest today is almost a joke, okay, what are they giving? I'll put in a CD, I'll put in mutual funds, there's no guarantee, a lot of these things. Let's say you have an investment where they guarantee a return. The return they're going to guarantee today, if you want a guaranteed return, it's a joke. Okay, they're going to give you what?
Peanuts.
Okay. It used to be years ago. It used to be, 30 years ago, they would give you the guarantee to give you 20% interest?
I remember
14%. Guaranteed.
That was a short period.
Okay, guaranteed. 18% interest. Okay, so you are suggesting that if I lend someone money and I'm losing the guaranteed interest I would get in the bank, so charging him for that percent should not be called ribis. You know something? You're right. That is a very big topic of discussion in the modern world. This idea did not exist in the primitive world economy of Tamar Chazal. It was a much more primitive economy, so in the Hanami. But today in the modern world economy, the only way for the world to succeed, there has to be sustained growth. There must be sustained growth. Otherwise, if it's not, you're not going forward, then there's automatically going to be a recession. It's expected that healthy economy, you have a right to assume a chazak of a healthy economy, there's going to be a given inflation is a given amount. So maybe you're right. Maybe you can argue that small percentage which you guaranteed to receive, if you were to charge him, it's not true lahalacha, but let's just play with the idea for now is not. Let's talk about above and beyond that. Okay, that certainly is called ribis. If you can put money, if you can find the best investment you can find, say you'll guarantee 2%, 3%, the best. I don't know where you're going to find that, but you guarantee 3%, okay, 3%. So then if you charge me 4%, that will certainly be called ribis.
That's called usury.
Usury is ribis. Usury is
ribis.
Okay, usury is just an English word for ribis, right? Isn't that,
usury is excessive.
Excessive. Excessive, okay. Whatever it is, that for sure is ribis. I don't have access to get that kind of return. I need the money right now. And if I want to get the money right now, then I'm going to have to go pay something which is above and beyond. That is called ribis. That is halachic, for sure, halachic ribis. The truth is, we pass the halacha l'maaseh, even what you would get in the bank would be ribis. Okay, that's a topic of why is that so? That's a topic of discussion because the Torah's view of capitalism could be very different than the modern world's understanding of capitalism, the way the whole economy. That's a very complicated topic.
Regulated capitalism.
Use the term grace, quality of life decreases.
The chay, yes.
Decreases. But historically, too many times, his life, quality of life decreased. He took it out.
That's a separate issue. That's a separate issue. We can't deal with that. We only can deal with regard to what you're doing to my charging him a ribbis. Let's just leave a little bit more. Let's go further over here. So this is a very nice idea. This in itself is a very beautiful idea. The concept of Echei Achich Imach. The Torah is not telling you to go and bite him. The Torah is telling you that in the event that he comes to ask you for a loan, you can give him a loan with ribis. And even though the indirect consequence will be that he'll be lacking in Vechei, that's not your problem. Okay, now let's go further. Avol Chacham Asru. The Chacham still said it's Asr. Okay, it is, I'm reading now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down from the top of the page. The Chacham said you're still not allowed to lend a goy money with ribis midrabanan. Gezerah Shema Yilmad Mima Asaf. Kalaymar Shemitach Sheyalvehu Viyaloi Masu Matan Imoy Tamid Yilmad Mima Asaf. It's a special takana. Takana is, if you're going to lend a non-Jew money with ribis, you're going to have interaction with him. And one thing will lead to another, and before you turn around, you're going to behave the way he behaves. Miu b'talmud chacham, she'ein lachush l'zeh loy asru. Now this is a real slippery slope, but if you're a talmud chacham, you need not be concerned, you're going to learn from his ways, and then it's permitted. V'gam b'shor kol adam loy asru ela ribis d'oy raisa. Here we get to the real slippery slope. Avol ribis d'rabbanon sharu. So here's what I really wanted to get to, and that is we have to differentiate between ribis de oiraisa and ribis de rabbanon. And this is fundamental in understanding all of the modern day applications of ribis with banks and with credit cards and with leasing and you name it, mortgages, everything all comes down to this. You have to understand this, the ribis de oiraisa and ribis de rabbanon. Therefore, when it comes to a non-Jew, we have to remember that the laws of ribis apply even to a non-Jew. You're not allowed to lend ribis to a goy mid rabbanon. The rabbanon said, even though in the Torah says lanochri sashich, we're not concerned about his chay, his quality of life. It's the osur mid rabbanon. However, it's only osur mid rabbanon. A ribis, that's a ribis to a rice. It's a little confusing. It's also midrabanan to lend money to a non-Jew. If the ribis that you're going to lend a non-Jew would be a violation of a deraisa type of ribis, but not a derabanan. And what is the difference? We'll get that in one moment. V'gam ribis deraisa loy oshu ela b'yoyzim echdei chayav. When it comes to ribis, even that's mutter, only when you don't need it for your livelihood. If you're just... you have more money than you need to live for the rest of your life. And the only reason why you're investing, you're engaging in these activities of real estate and these wheeler dealers, is just for fun. You have nothing better to do with your money. You just want to keep yourself busy. You want to go buy real estate and make this investment and that investment. You want to be a philanthropist. And you want some be in the newspapers. They've given money, put your name on a couple of buildings, do good things. It's not called kidei chayav. Then there's a prohibition to lend money to a guy. Even to a guy, there's a prohibition. You're going to have to come on to a heter iska, even when it comes to a guy. The gam zedavka b'yimehem. Then he goes on to say this only in the olden days. Shahoyu roiv yehudim darim yachad yachad. For you noisim v'noisim ze'im zeva yuchayim li'zor mimas matin emagoyim. So he goes on the Levush and said the Levush was written like, 300 years ago? And he says that even this doesn't apply b'zman hazeh because this only applied in ancient times when Jews lived among themselves and it was not necessary to engage in commercial activity with non-Jews. Avol do idna she efshar lanu lehishtaker b'shum masu matin. Listen, lehistaker b'shum masu umaton im lo shen nose v'nosan imohem. Therefore, ribis is no different than business. Just like there is absolutely no prohibition to deal in business with non-Jews, so too, since we need to come on to them, no matter what, you can lend them money with ribis as well. Lefichach nohagu kol adam heter lehalvois ribis lugoim afilu einet halmachacham uvchom in ribis, and that's why it comes out. Bizman hazeh, we've never heard anyone holding back and not borrowing money, lending money to a non-Jew with ribis, whether he's a Talmud Chacham, not a Talmud Chacham. All the rules of the Gemara today have gone out the window. All these rules of the Gemara puts in place many, many restrictions on dealing, on lending money to a non-Jew with interest. And all of these rules have gone out the window because Bizman hazeh, you cannot make a livelihood unless you engage in such activity, and since when it comes to your livelihood, Chazal will never was so strict, that is why it's mutter. The Engel Hakshoy is...
Moshe Rabbeinu was in this generation, he was not commanding to not have...
He'll be very happy. Moshe came to our generation, he'll be very, very happy. I have no doubt about it. He'll be very happy. He'll look at you, and he'll be very happy.
That if Moshe Rabbeinu was in this time,
yes,
he was not telling not to give rebuke.
Rebuke? He wouldn't give rebuke?
No, it was okay. If Moshe Rabbeinu was in this time,
yeah,
he was not telling not to.
How do you know? There's always what the Gemara
says.
Let's analyze this. Why is that in ancient times? Go back to the time of Chazal, when Jews primarily did business among themselves. Why did they differentiate between business with non-Jews and lending money to non-Jews? What's the difference? Why is it I can go and I can buy merchandise, I can buy and sell to a non-Jew, why can't I lend money to a non-Jew? The nearly, the Ein Zeh Kush, the Levush says, here's the difference. The Bimeim, Shayu Harbi Yisrael Dorim Yachat, Vahayu Cholom Lisa Litin Zeim Zeh, Loi Choshu Chazal Ligzor Shlo Yisu Yidnu Im Goyim Yishum Shema Yilmat, the Loma Yisa Litin Tamim Nama Goyim, Vloi Vloim Yisrael Chaveroi. There was no need. It's not because Chazal did not, he's saying a very interesting answer, it's only practical. In the ancient times, the Jews did not need to buy merchandise from non-Jews. They were able to have their own economy. All of the products, self-sustaining, therefore there was no need to do so. The Ad Rabbah, Kol Yisrael B'cheskas K'sherim Heim Etzlam Lo Yavru Al Smach Hadrash Hadosh Chazal Miposik V'chisimkru Zbivul Drasha V'chisimkru Mimkor La'am Misecha. We had this possible only a few weeks ago, Parash Kedoshim. The simple meaning over here is V'chisimkru Mimkor La'am Misecha. If you go and engage in business, Al toynu ishe sochiv, b'chazal darshin, o yikonom yarem yisecha, shedarshu, bo, minayin kishato moicher, mochor li yishol chavercha. This is very applies to Bizman Azeh as well. That kisimkuru mimkar, if you have to, sell something, who should you sell it to? Two people approach you, there are two buyers. It's la'am yisecha. Sell it to your fellow Jew. If you have to buy something, I can buy paper plates from a Jew, or I can buy paper plates from Amazon, from someone in China. Who should you buy it from? Okono, Torah tells you, Miyad Amisecha. There's a mitzvah, not a deraisa, but it's nasmachta, that when you earn business, you should buy and sell from a Jew. Okay, some people don't like that. The
that
only
sounds very nice, but you have to tell us where.
What about the prices?
As long as you're not getting ripped off. It's very obvious. As long as everything is legal, everything is 100% legal, and as long as the prices are pretty much the same, it's kedai to give your fellow Jew parnasa. Everyone needs parnasa, and if you have an opportunity to give someone parnasa, why not? Why should you go and give the parnasa to a non-Jew? There's a mitzvah. The pasuk says in the pasuk, "V'chisimku mimkar la'amisecha o kono miyad amisecha." If you're in a business and you have an opportunity to do your fellow Jew a favor, give him parnasa. It's very logical. No, I know you'll tell me if he's ripping you off. Of course, if he's ripping you off, he's giving you poor merchandise. The quality of the merchandise is no good. You suspect this fraud. Of course. Dvarm shoot him out in the oat, stay a million miles away. I'm not talking about that situation. I'm talking about a situation where the guy is legit. If everything is legit and he needs your parnasa, so that's what we're all about. We're all on the same team. Vayichan Yisrael Yisrael Neged Ahar. If he's charging you maybe a few dollars more, okay, that's your discretion. It's your discretion. If he's going to charge you how much more is he going to charge you? A drop more? So is it still kedai to take away the business just for a few dollars? It depends. Maybe yeah, maybe no. I don't know. It depends. Every situation is different. If he's ripping you off, like I told you, dvarm shutim. This is a chazal. I'm not making this up. Some people I know, they will not do business with the Jew no matter what. No matter what. They got burnt once. They got burnt. They did business with a Jew, and they got burnt. That's it. For the rest of their lives, they will not do business with a fellow Jew. Or they don't like Jews because they don't want them knowing their business. They don't want to get too hamish with other fellow Jews. They like to keep their business and their religion separate. In my religious life, I have my religious friends. I have a daf yomi. I have a shul. I hang out with certain people. And in business, my business is completely off limits to the from Jewish world. I know people like that. They keep it separate. Hayluchud v'hayluchud. I always wondered about that. Is that really the right attitude? Maybe it is.
Burnt, so
what? Right. Maybe it is. What?
Not the right attitude.
I don't know. So maybe it all depends. You can't generalize. You cannot generalize. And every situation is different. You cannot generalize. But you also have to keep in mind that we're all Jews for a reason, that we help out each other. You can't forget about that. There's something to that as well. Okay, next. So now the question will be, when Sudev is coming to explain to us, why did Chazal never make a takana that you're not allowed to engage in business with a non-Jew? And he says something very shocking. That's because it was not necessary to make a takana because it never happened. Jews traditionally always did business amongst themselves. So there was no need. But when it came to lending money, then there was a very big nisayon. People wanted to lend money to non-Jews with ribbis. So Chazal had in that instance to step in and to tell Klal Yisrael, do not do so. Do not do so because you're going to develop a relationship with them and it's going to lead to things that are no good and therefore do not do that. Now, and then they made many exceptions. And today in the modern world, not all of the exceptions apply. And that's why it's unheard of not to restrain yourself from not lending money to a non-Jew with ribbis.
Also, but you have the Gemara and Avodah Zarah begins. You can do business with a guy, so except Yom
Okay, let's jump around. Let's go to the top of the page, the top of the left side, the oath. Let's go further.
Where did the Lavush live?
Poland. He was a Talmud, I would assume about 16 in the 17th century, the early 17th century. He was a Talmud of the Ramah, if I'm not mistaken. The Lavush Malchus, the Lavush was a Talmud of the Ramah. If you notice, it's written so well, it's so clear. And he brings out his purpose when he wrote the Levush was to find a medium between the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef is Marich, explains the Lamdis, every single little Gemara, every detail. And then when the Shulchan Aruch, he wrote the Psak Halacha, and the Ramah wrote the Psak Halacha, it's just Tubikitzer. Doesn't give you any explanation as for what the halacha is about. So he wrote this sefer to give you a middle ground to learn the halacha, to appreciate what the halacha is with the lamnas. It's very similar, it came 300 years earlier, 250 years earlier to the Aruch HaShulchan. The Levush, I find it to be very, very similar in style to the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan is modern. It's much more recent. Aruch HaShulchan deals with modern issues, and the Aruch HaShulchan it's different. It's different. But they both are. A little bit that I know that I've studied, they're very similar in style of dealing with the lamdas, but not going too deep. Just getting you they're very careful to avoid teaching you dry halacha. If you teach dry halacha, it gets very boring and you get turned off very quickly. If you go too deep, if you learn the Torah and you learn the Beis Yosef, for most people like me, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming and your head begins to spin and you go for days and weeks and whatever you learned, when it's all over, I don't know, I'm more confused than I was when I started, because you go through every piece of Gemara, every opinion, all the lamdas until you come to a conclusion. The Levush is a medium. He gives you the basics, the yisoidos, he tells you the lamdas, and you walk away with something substantial, something that you can hold in your hands. Like you see today, we learned already a few yisoidos. The lamdas of ribbis is v'cheyachich imach. When it comes to a guy, it's a secondary concern. The chaychicha is a byproduct of ribbis. A guy, you're not concerned for that byproduct. He's not your brother. Then he's telling you that this the many takanas. You're not allowed, even the Chazal, the Torah says you're allowed to. Chazal said do not, for one reason. We don't want a Jew having dealings with non-Jews. You're going to learn from their hanhagos, their way of life, and that's not a good thing. So it's forbidden. But there are many exceptions. Today, all of the exceptions apply. That's why it's mutter. There was never a prohibition to engage in business with a non-Jew because it wasn't practical. Because there's a point in halacha that when you have an opportunity to give your fellow Jew parnasa, why not? give your fellow Jew parnasa. Now let's go over the oath. Gam dasmachta loy nemer. When I was a child, you know, it was very rare to have a plumber, at least when I grew up, a plumber, an electrician, someone to appliances. And everyone were non-Jews. All the people who did these things, I remember as a child, were all non-Jews. Today, they're all Jews. Today, all the people you hire a plumber, they're all from. I have a whole long list of plumbers. They're all from one better than the next. They're all good. They're all very good. They're honest. They're good. They're nice. Electrician, plumber, people in business, and every single profession today, you see amongst the frum people, they hire frum people. Contractors, they hire, you know, the frum people. There are plenty of goyim out there, but there are a lot of frum people, so why not give them they need parnasa, give them the business? What's the problem? You're going to tell me they're no good. All right, they're no good. But if they're good, what's the big deal? Next, let's go further.
To make a glass, the Jew told me 150, yeah. The guy told me 40, 50. Three times the Jew is going to...
The Jew wanted three times as much?
150.
Who wanted 150?
The Jew.
And the guy?
40, 50.
40, 50?
The pain...
4,000?
They make pain, 4, pain God. The Jew told me 2,600. The guy did 900.
Okay, you have to know whatever situation is. Let's go over the oath. Gam dasmachta lenemra elahakdim lishon legoy v'lele eser hamaseh imoyim. Okay, there's another very important principle. The principle over here is v'gam oy dasmachta lenemra elahakdim lishon legoy v'lele eser hamaseh matan imoyim. It's only lahakdim. There's no prohibition to deal with this pasuk to engage in business. V'chisimkru mimkar. If you engage in selling, la'amisecha, that's only lehaktim. But if you want to sell your merchandise primarily to a non-Jew, that's fine. Aval masu matan da halvas ribis, de ipcha hu, that's just the opposite. Shu nesar livgabe yisrael chaber. It is forbidden to lend ribis to your fellow Jew. V'od shu masu matan sheliboy shel adam nimshach acharav, mibnei shu masu matan she'in boy torach revach binokalu. It's easy, it's not so easy. Choshul chazal, shekol mi sheyiloy mos harbe yamid loy masoy matnoy al ribis, lahalvois legoyim, v'eskoy imoy. Ribis is something very, it's moishach esalev. It's the easiest business. Can you imagine? It's so easy to do the ribis, to have a bank. My father used to tell me, bank, it's the easiest business. No product, no services. What do you do in a bank? I lend you money, and you pay me back more money. If you're a computer programmer, you got to sit in horror the whole day and write code and deal with complaints and weed out the bugs. If you're a contractor, you know what's involved in building a building? How many laws and codes, inspection, you have to deal with, and every little thing doesn't work, the doorknob doesn't work, the hinges don't work, the floor, the tiles don't fit, this doesn't fit. Go to your mind. If you're an editor, you're your publisher, you have to stay up the whole night and reading it again and again to weed out all of the errors to make it better and better and better. If you have a bank, wow, it's so easy. I just lend you money and you pay me. What is not any different anymore? I lend you money and you pay me back more money. What do you have to do? The question is, do I trust you? Okay, are you viable? Will you pay me back? If I'm giving you a mortgage and you have a house in Flatbush, the price of real estate is pretty good, so I'll foreclose on the house. So it's a safe deal. No, it's pretty much a safe deal on giving a mortgage. It's pretty good deal most of the time in an area, in a neighborhood where the computer says this is the price of real estate. It's been stable for the last 10 years. So how much more do you need? If this is what the value of the house is, and for the last 10 years, the value of the house has been pretty stable, it's a pretty solid deal. I'll give you the money and you'll give me back double the money. It's a great business, no? It's very easy.
You have to have the money.
Oh, you have to have the money to do it, right? You have to be in business to be very wealthy.
You have to give out enough in interest.
You have to have the money to be able to give away the money. You have to have rob a bank.
Excuse me, cash is stored, cash checked of the store Jewish.
No. I don't know the answer. Not now. We'll talk about it. I will listen to the paragraph. Okay, but who is it? Another time, basically, he says that Bezmanazed, there's no issue. You can lend them with ribis for many, many reasons. The economy is such where we cannot make a parnas without lending money with ribis, and the necessity is too great, he says. That's what he seems to say over here, is that the Chazal, we're not concerned for whatever reason. They let us do it today. Okay, we're going to stop over here. We're not going to do this too much more. I see it's going to take too long, so we're just going to have to go into the more practical halachas. Okay? Yeah, we'll see. I have to jump around maybe more to find very specific things. I have to keep you engaged. We have to keep us engaged, so I'll try to focus more on modern halachas.
Ribbit and Neshe had two different needs. Ribbit is going to increase his investment.
Yes.
Neshe is going to be biting as a snake. Why? What is the difference between Nesha and Marbit? Is it the same?
It's the same thing. I don't know the difference.